hearts in the North Woods are hot. On any given night, you can hear great live music, see a theater production, or take an art walk. Behind the art scene, however, are the teachers and the mentors, the people that keep art alive for all of us. This week, I'm talking to Eric Carlson, a familiar face and voice on the Northwood stages, or parked behind a board running a show. What you may not know about Eric, though, is that teaching is an early and ongoing passion.
When I was, I think, in fifth grade, my mom had decided or seen that I wanted to be a teacher of some sort, and I loved art. And so she had me come down to her first grade classroom and teach a lesson in art. And so I think from that moment, it was always in my head. And so ever since then, it was in my mind as a possibility and a passion. So yeah, it was there.
Eric lives on land his grandparents bought years ago in Turtle River. For the past 5 years, he's been teaching art in Kellyer in a small K-12 school with just 250 students.
When I walked into the facility, I was blown away. Most of the schools that I had gone to interview at, some of them were art on a cart, and that's not the model. That's not why I got into it. And I teach from kindergarten to 12th grade. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's really fun for me because I like the diversity of that. And then I get to see them all the way up, until they graduate. I've just started to have that experience. This next year is going to be my sixth year.
Eric is what I would call a student advocate and an advocate of the learning process itself.
Unfortunately, people's impulse to get myopic about math and reading and say that we have to teach this way and we have to knuckle down on test scores. And I understand their impulse. I don't actually want to disparage that impulse, but I do want to disparage the practice because it's after years of being in education, I don't see children thriving in that way. And it's a misunderstanding of children more than it is of academia. Yes, in a different world where people are robots, that your approach makes sense, but it doesn't with little human beings. There's a saying that those who can't teach pass laws about teaching.
You're listening to The Call of the Wild. This week, I'm talking with Eric Carlson, a musician, teacher, and artist from Turtle River, Minnesota. I know Eric's parents and grandparents. It's clear that he knows firsthand what it means to be raised in an environment where creative self-expression is encouraged and supported. Music has been a big part of his life.
How I've approached music has changed over time. I first just was picking up a guitar, and it was so wonderful just to be able to play a couple chords and to be able to do something worthwhile with it. And then I kind of exhausted that for myself. I played solo for a long time, and about 6 years ago put together a little wedding band type of thing just for fun, and we've been doing that for a long time.
He's also a graphic artist and has been working on a graphic novel for quite some time.
Yeah, yes, and I've got some of it on the wall over here, and I tend to gravitate towards storytelling in my art and graphic storytelling. I love graphic novels, and painting 2D stuff is really fun for me, but that energy that I have right now of actual creation is going towards teaching.
Besides being a teacher and a musician, Eric is also one of those wizards behind the curtain when it comes to sound engineering for other musicians.
Was always intriguing to me, and it was also always magic to be able to go to a show and have the sound that you produce amplified and accentuated and made better by somebody just pulling knobs and levers. And so that aspect always intrigued me. And that became a big focus for me because I realized it tied into my passion of supporting other people and encouraging other people's artwork. And I could be a part of that through sound engineering.
A good teacher, or a good musician for that matter, is often the result of a lot of ingredients being added to the original recipe. Eric has had some powerful influences in his life, starting with a mother who would have her fifth grade son teach an art class. And then there are, of course, our local music giants.
And especially, you know, I have such a huge respect for Jim Miller's music. And so to be able to run sound for Christy and Miriam and all these people who, and Gary Brusty. And in fact, one of those Miller Fests, Gary Berger played his last live recording, and I videotaped it, and then I was able to go and mix it, and it's online now. And I didn't realize at the time that I'd posted it that that was his last live performance.
This old heart has seen many smiles. This old truck has seen many miles.
In a way, Eric's link to Turtle River and to Gary Berger has cut one more circuitous path into his life. He's picking up where Gary left off with Turtle Town Productions.
So we've been trying to use that to, whenever we do something kind of in his spirit, we kind of use that label to continue. And one of my goals is to eventually start up another studio with Turtle Town and keep that going. My vision of it would be a kind of a collaborative thing where a bunch of different sound engineers, because we've got a whole bunch in the area, would have a space to come and record and produce music.
Teaching, playing music, producing music. Eric's life is like a wheel, and the hub of that wheel is music and art. All the spokes run out from there.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the thing, is that it's the passion that drives you, you know, and we do it other anyways, you know. Some of it greases the wheels in order to get money to the artist and everything, but that's not the focus, you know. And I think it goes back to our conversation about test scores. When your bottom line becomes numeric instead of from the heart, you know, then you've lost your North Star. You know, you kind of forgot why you're doing things.
With the call of the wild, I'm Milt Lee.
Don't let it pass.